Awesome worship for an awesome God. If you would, take your copy of the scriptures, and we're going to hang out in the Old Testament today. 1 Kings chapter 17. And so if you're somewhere in the early part of the Old Testament around Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and after that you'll arrive at 1 Kings. And so that's where we'll be this morning. Verses 7 through 17 will be our focus. But I just want to read an excerpt, maybe verses 9 through 14, and that will, I believe, that will set the table for what we will talk about this morning. I'm going to read from the New American Standard, and you follow me along in your version of the scriptures. 1 Kings 17, verse 7 through 17. Verse 9, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he had came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please get a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go to prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall a jar of oil be emptied until the day that the Lord sends rain to the face of the earth. Let's talk this morning about when giving to the Lord is difficult. When we talk about the subject of giving, you know, for some of you, when you hear that topic in church, you begin to tense up, you begin to cringe, wondering what is the agenda of the minister who may be speaking. For some of us, it's uncomfortable, in part maybe because of past experiences in church that have been negative in this area. For others of you, that's not the case. From a preacher's perspective, there are preachers in different places when it comes to speaking on this subject. You go to some churches and some pastors, and it seems like almost every Sunday you hear about giving. And one of the titles we have for those are money preachers. But then on the other extreme, you have pastors who don't like to talk at all about giving because they're afraid that they may be perceived to be money preachers. And so they don't say anything about giving. And you know what? Both perspectives are harmful to the people of God. Because if you take the first angle, well, that's all you do is that you intimidate, you guilt the people of God into giving. Yes, you may produce extra dollars in the collection, but you will not produce givers like the Lord has in mind. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Lord says this, the Lord loves what kind of givers? Cheerful givers, not people who are under pressure, not people who are being browbeaten or guilted into giving. That Greek word is hilarious. The Lord loves, and he wants to produce in his people who, man, when offering time comes around, man, I can't wait. I can't wait till the plate gets to me so I can participate in this act of worship and be a part of what God is doing. That's the kind of giver that the Lord wants to produce. And so I don't think every other message ought to be on giving, because you know what? Jesus has a whole lot more to say to his people on other matters as well. But at the same time, we don't want to ignore teaching on giving because the Lord says much about this topic. Let me give you an idea. If you chose to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you only have to read it for the fourth chapter of the first book in the Bible to where the giving and offering is talked about, Cain and Abel. The Lord gives an entire book on giving, the book of Leviticus. If you read the first seven chapters of Leviticus, all seven chapters describe some type of offering the people of God were to give to God. The Lord says a lot about giving. When you come up to Jesus, Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, in that sermon, Jesus talks about giving. You get to chapter 6 of Matthew, right in the center of the sermon goes from chapter 5 to chapter 7, and chapter 6, Jesus talks about giving alms. And then later on, verse 19 in that sixth chapter, he talks about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He is talking about giving as we give to the Lord's work on earth that people might hear the gospel. We lay up for ourselves rewards in heaven. So Jesus talked about giving. And then you go to the book of Acts and you see great demonstrations of giving. You see the people of God sacrificing for their fellow believers, selling their property and laying it at the apostles' feet. And then the great apostle Paul talked about, he addressed this area of giving. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, Paul starts the chapter off. He says, now concerning the collection. Paul gives God's people instructions on giving. He comes back again, 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, and then Philippians 4. All of those are passages that address the art of giving. So the Lord has much to say about giving. But have you ever wondered why? Why does the Lord say so much in Scripture about giving? A couple of reasons. Let me share them with you. First of all, the Lord says much about giving because, see, giving is used by God as a spiritual barometer for God's people. As a measurement of where people are with God, giving is a spiritual barometer. God is able to measure, you're able to measure where you are in your walk with God based off of your giving. When you go back to Cain and Abel, do you remember as both Cain and Abel gave offerings, we were able to determine where they were in their relationship with God based on what they gave and how they gave. What about Genesis 22 where the Lord asked Abraham for an offering? You remember that? God comes to Abraham one day and he says, Abraham, I want an offering. Abraham, okay, Lord, what do you want? A couple of goats? A pig? What? Not a pig. They're Jewish. Unclean animal. Wrong illustration. All right. A goat, whatever. And the Lord said, no, I want your son. And we know that it was just a test from the Lord. But as Abraham, though his heart was broken, he grabbed a hold of his son's hand and he marched up Mount Moriah, tied him down, and with every intent to come down with the blade across his son's body until the Lord stopped him. Do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, now I know that you fear me. You see, what he was willing to offer to God revealed where he was in his walk with God. And so the Lord says much about giving because giving is used as a spiritual barometer for God's people. But the second reason that God says much about giving is because giving is a tool for which God uses to grow his people spiritually as well. You see, you're going to have to trust me for that. It'll flow out of the text shortly, but we're going to see that God uses the time of giving and the challenge of giving to grow the faith of his people so that they walk closer with him. And so as we address this subject, I want to talk with you this morning about why it's important that we give to the Lord even when it is difficult. Okay? Speaking to Christians, as Christians, we are commanded by the Lord to give. We're expected to give. As a covenant member of this church, that's one of the things that you commit to and being a member that I'll give to support the work of the church. But at times, that responsibility, that commitment is challenging because income changes, family dynamics change, the economy changes. And those things can change our ability to be able to do what God has called us to do. It may or may not be our fault, but difficulties may arise that hinder us in that way. And so here's what we're tempted to do. That when what we have and what we need to meet our obligations, when there's a gap between the two, it is very easy for us to logically think, here's what I will do in order to bridge that gap. I'll refrain from giving to the Lord so that I'll have more to meet my obligations. And you know what? That's logical. That is logical. And you say, well, you know what? Because right now, you know, the church is more able to pay their bills than I'm able to pay mine. And so surely that would be okay with the Lord. Or we're thinking my little bit wouldn't make that much of a difference. Or I'll give to the Lord in other ways. I'll give service or whatever instead of my offering. And you know what? That is very logical. But here's the problem. That is not biblical. You won't find anything in Scripture, any instruction in Scripture, where the Lord tells his people not to give. And so I want to talk about that. And I'll tell you in advance, this is not a message where the entire time you'll be browbeaten. What we're going to do is what we always do. We're just going to go through the text of Scripture and we'll expound and allow God to speak to us. And I share this with you. Here's my motive. What you're going to find in this is that the challenge to give is for your benefit, and you're going to see how you benefit as a result to obeying God in this way, okay? And so let's go to our text. Let me set the context for you. We're in 1 Samuel 17, 1 Kings 17. These are the days of Elijah, the prophet. And at this point in time, Israel is in a bad shape, spiritually speaking, because they're under the reign of King Ahab. And he and Jezebel are leading. And because everything rises and falls on leadership, these horrible leaders have just affected the rest of the people. And they are immersed in idolatry. In the previous chapter, chapter 16, verse 33, it speaks of Ahab. It says he was the most wicked king. He was more wicked than any of the kings of Israel prior to his time. And so what has happened, because they have continued in their idolatry and refused to repent, God is about to bring judgment. And the judgment is this: it is a drought upon the land. When you look at the middle of verse 1, Elijah speaks. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, he says, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And so the prophet stands before the people and he announces God's judgment. He says, it won't be a drop of dew or rain that touches this ground for years until I bring word from the Lord that the drought is over. And according to James 5:17, the drought lasted 3.5 years. And so, of course, in an agrarian society where they depended upon crops, this would affect the crops, this would affect drinking water. Everyone would be affected, including God's prophet. And so in verse 3 and verse 4, God lets Elijah know, I got you covered. And he says, you make your way to this particular brook, you'll be able to drink from there, and I'm going to give you room service every day. He says, twice a day, the ravens will fly you food to meet your needs. And sure enough, in verse 5 and verse 6, that is what takes place. But eventually the source of water runs out. The brook dries up. And so God requires a woman, a widow of Zarephath, to then meet the need of his prophet. This woman is unnamed. All we know is she's a widow. She lives in Zarephath. But she is about to become our example, Bereans, this morning of why we should give to the Lord even when it's difficult. Now, four reasons we're going to see that flow out of the text. Let's look at the first one. The first reason that we have to give to the Lord, even when it's difficult, is number one, we're never exempt from giving to the Lord. There is no exemption for the people of God. Verse 7 through 9, it says it happened. That when the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. If anyone should have been exempt from giving anything to the Lord, it should have been this woman. Let's examine her situation. This woman, first of all, she is a victim of a bad economy. Verse 7 says that it's a drought, the latter part of verse 7. The entire economy is crashing. She is also without any financial security. Verse 9 tells us that she was a widow. And you need to understand, it's a little different today, a little better today, but in biblical times, when you were a widow, being a widow, you were associated with poverty. If you notice, the majority of the time when a widow is mentioned in Scripture, normally she is associated with poverty. And so likely didn't have a job in that culture. Women were not nearly as independent. And so she would have to be dependent upon government subsidies. You see, the Lord, because his heart is so big for the poor, the Lord had put in place in Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29, the Lord had put in place a subsidy called the poor tithe, that every 3 years Israel was to give 10% of their income, and it went to support the poor and the widows in the land. And so this is probably how she was making it. Whether it was weekly, monthly, she was getting something in that area. And then also maybe she was a gleaner. Another thing the Lord put in place in Leviticus 23, 22, when Israel was to take in their crops, the farmers were to purposely leave the corners of the field and leave the crop there for the purpose that the poor might freely come in and be able to partake. You see that in the book of Ruth, right? Ruth is a widow, and she goes to the field of Boaz, her future husband. And so this is likely the only income she has coming in. Not much, but just enough to meet her needs. Third of all, she likely has a dependent. She mentions in verse 12, a son that needs to eat. We don't know if the son was 5, 15, 25, but it seems that he is somehow dependent on her. And so what you have here, you have a widow, likely unemployed. She is a single mother in a bad economy. And yet the Lord expects her to give for his purposes. God sends Elijah specifically to this woman in the middle of verse 12. The Lord says, I've commanded her to provide for you. And so here's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is teaching a principle here. Why does he have this woman, this widow in this situation, and yet calls for her to give to his servant? Because the Lord is teaching a principle here. I want to show it to you on the screen. Here's the principle. Simply this, that if the Lord has given you anything, you're required to give him something. She didn't have much, but the Lord had provided something. And the Lord is saying that as I've taken care of you, if I've provided for you, you honor me with whatever, out of whatever I've given to you. The Lord is showing to us that no one is exempt, speaking of his children, from giving. It's not likely that our situations, any of our situations, were any worse than this woman's situation. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. You see it on the screen. Reveals this same principle. The Lord, again, speaking to his people. Paul writes, he says, on the first day of every week. What's that? That's Sunday. That's the Lord's day. That's when the people of God come together for worship. And a part of the worship service is where the saints of God get the privilege to give to the work of God. He says, so on the first day of every week, notice who is to participate. He says, each one of you. Each one of you who have been saved by God's marvelous grace should set aside, the NIV says, a sum of money in keeping with your income. I love that. I love what the Lord said. You notice the Lord didn't put a dollar amount there. He didn't say everybody has to give this amount or you don't meet my standards. Because see, some people in the congregation, it would be a strain for them to meet that amount. And so the Lord says this. He says, let each one of you give. Yes, that's your responsibility, but you just give as the Lord has prospered you. In proportion to what God has given to you, you give back. And so the ground is level for everybody. But everybody has the responsibility. No one is exempt. And so, Christian, if you have refrained from giving or diminished your giving or inconsistent in your giving, what the Lord is challenging you is to take up this responsibility and be faithful in doing so. Let's go a little farther. Second reason it's important to give to the Lord, even in difficult times, is because we exercise our faith when giving to the Lord. That's the second reason. Because we exercise our faith in giving to the Lord. So Elijah is sitting there. The brook is dried up. He is thirsty. maybe a little hungry, and the ravens he looked for, they're no longer coming. The time is up. The Lord has sovereignly put an end to that provision in that way because he wants him to seek this widow for what he needs. So verse 10 and 11, that's what he does. The Lord instructs him to do that in perfect obedience. Elijah gets up. It says, so he arose. He went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please, man, the prophet's got manners. Yeah, he said, please give me a little water in the jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and he said again, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And so what happens here, God sovereignly brings these two people there. This isn't an accident. This isn't luck. This isn't chance. What God does, he intentionally dries up the brook to move Elijah. Elijah would have never left that place. But he lets the prophet know, I'm going to provide through another source. And then he instructs him on where to go. And as he travels to the city, immediately when he walks through the gate, he runs right into the widow that God was leading him to. She just so happened to be picking up sticks, ready to start a fire to cook a final meal. But this is the Lord orchestrating this event. He brings the two together. It is a divine appointment. And Elijah doesn't waste time. He puts his order in right away. He said, please, can I have a cold drink of water, hold a lemon, and let me get a piece of bread. Now, we already know the desperate situation that this widow is in. And yet, you notice that she's not shocked that he asked for the two things that are very scarce in all of Israel, but she's not shocked about his request. When he requests in verse 10 for water, she, without a word, she goes to fetch it. And then on the way, he mentions the bread. She's not taken back by it. You know why? Because I believe she had expected Elijah. Back in verse 9, what did God say to the prophet? He says, I have, past tense, commanded her to provide for you. God had already visited this widow and had already given her the challenge to give. And so when the prophet shows up, it's not a shock to her. And so what the Lord is doing here, he wants to work in the life of this Gentile woman. And in spite of what little that she has, and he wants her to give a portion of what she has to him, to trust him and trust that he'll provide for her and her son. And so that's what God, he commands her. And so she must now decide, am I going to believe God and obey him despite my difficult circumstances? And so see, when it comes to giving, giving to the Lord is always about faith. It is a test of faith. And that's what you have here. Because, see, we have financial obligations. She has financial obligations, and yet she's being challenged to give part of what she has, which will leave less for her, and she's got to decide, will I trust God and obey him, or will I not? And so she is, I believe at this point, she's not quite certain if she's going to trust God yet. Verse 12, she said to him, as the Lord your God lives. Notice that. She didn't say the Lord, my God. She said, Elijah, the Lord, your God. I'm not certain that this is your God, the one whom you trust. I'm not quite there yet. But she says, as the Lord your God lives, she said, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, here's my plan. I'm gathering a few sticks that I might go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Difficult, sir. I'm down to the last meal. And I'm in a dilemma here because I've heard from your God and what he wants me to do, but I'm in a dilemma here. I'm down to my last meal. Will I trust your God or will I hold on to what I have and just follow through with my plan and eventually just die? She didn't have much faith that giving to the Lord will help her situation. Some of you all may feel that way as well. Maybe this is where you struggle. You say, I'm already behind. I'm already getting notices, the threat of things being repossessed. And you're challenging me today to take a portion of what little I have and give it on purpose to the Lord. And again, giving is always, it is always a faith thing. But I like Elijah's response. He knows where the woman is. You notice he doesn't scold her. He doesn't condemn her. There's no spiritual arm twisting, no guilt trips here. But here's what Elijah does. He encourages her, he teaches her, and then he challenges her. See, that's how you train generous givers, God's people. You encourage them, you teach them what God said, and then you challenge them to go do it. Watch verse 13 and verse 14. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. There's the encouragement. And then he says, but go do what you have said. He said, but make a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me. And then afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your son. And if you do that, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, he says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day in which the Lord sends rain to the face of the earth. When you read on the surface, Elijah sounds selfish, right? He said, I know you got just a little bit, but I tell you what, break off one of those biscuits and bring it back to me first. But no, Elijah's teaching here. He's teaching a biblical principle by which God functions. And here's what Elijah's teaching this woman. He is saying, when it comes to giving and your finances, you give to the Lord first. And then you trust him to provide what you need. You give to the Lord first. The prophet of God represents the Lord. You give to him first. And then you trust him to provide for your needs. That's a principle that the Lord functions by. Now, it takes faith to do that. If you would, hold your place where you are in 1 Samuel. And go to the right. Go to Proverbs. Right after the Psalms, go to Proverbs chapter 3. And let me share something with you. This has always been how God operated with his children. That you're to prioritize what you give to the Lord first, and then by faith you trust him to provide what you need. And in Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read verse 9 and 10. The scripture says, honor the Lord from your wealth. You want to honor the Lord from your wealth. And he says, and from the first, some of your translations say the first fruits of all your produce. Now, remember, Israel was an agrarian society. It was through their crops that much of their wealth was maintained and had. And so the Lord says, when it comes to your wealth, your crops, he said, you give the Lord the first fruit. What was the first fruit? In other words, what came up at harvest time first. Whatever came up first, Israel was to give all of that or the best of that to the Lord. Now, if they do that, what's left for them? Absolutely nothing. The rest had not come up yet, and so what they were to do is to give what came up first to the Lord and trust that the Lord would send the rain and the sun and everything needed to provide the rest of that crop. I told you, giving to the Lord involves faith. And what the Lord was saying is that you put me first, you set aside what is mine first, and then you trust me, the faithful God, to provide for your needs. So that's what Elijah was doing. Elijah's teaching. Elijah's not just saying, I want to go first. Elijah's teaching a biblical principle. This is how the God of Israel functions. That when it comes to giving, you make giving to him the priority first, and then he will be faithful to meet your need afterwards. But you gotta trust him. You see, our approach to giving shouldn't be this. And I remember in past year, I remember being guilty of this. We sit down and we figure out what we need and who everybody needs to be paid. And then what's left over, maybe a portion of that goes to the Lord. See, that's backwards. No, what you do, you determine, you seek the Lord in prayer and God, and you determine what it is that the Lord would have you to give, and then that is set aside first. And then you do the business of meeting your needs. And so that remains sacred. And you want to do that because here's what happens. Let me communicate this through this story. Farmer comes into the house one day all happy. He rejoicing. Grabs his wife by the hand and says, "The Lord has blessed us." He grabs her by the hand, takes her out to the barn. Two brand new pigs just been born. Look at that. The Lord has blessed us with two pigs. And honey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep one for ourselves, and we're going to give one to the Lord. And so, you know, wives in the details. So what, you know what she asked? Which one is the Lord's pig and which one is ours? And he said, "Honey, don't worry about it. We're going to keep one for ourselves. We're going to give one to the Lord." And so he doesn't make the choice. And so the next day he comes in all sad. He said, "Honey, I got bad news." He said, "The Lord's pig just died." You all get the point. When we don't set aside what's the Lord, when a catastrophe happened, it's always the Lord's pig who died, never ours. And so that's why on the front end, you decide what is the Lord. And so whenever the income comes in, it has already been designated what is the Lord's. But you make that sacred. So that's the principle that Elijah's teaching. Give the Lord first. Well, let's go back to 1 Kings 17. When we give to the Lord, even in difficult times, he causes our faith to grow, because giving is a faith issue. When in difficult times, when we give to the Lord and we're struggling with it, we're struggling because we see those deadlines over there, and we give faithfully to the Lord, and then the Lord comes through, you know what happens? That's when your faith grows. And see, that's what we were talking about. That's why so much is said in the Bible about giving, because that's one of the ways the Lord grows us into trusting him. Because we live in a material world. Every day we have to deal with money. We need money. But what the Lord is trying to teach us is that we need him more. And so he puts us in challenging situations. And then he says, "Trust me and give anyway." And when we do it, we see him and we grow. Let me give you a third reason. It is important for us to give even when it's difficult. Third reason is because we will experience the blessing of God, or the blessing of the Lord. We will experience the blessing of the Lord. You see, the widow had decided that she would trust God. She, from the encouragement and the teaching of the man of God, she said, "Yeah, I need to do this. I need to do this." And so in going back to 1 Samuel 17, it says at the beginning of verse 15, it says, "So when she went and she did according to the word of Elijah," she obeyed. And so she gives. And I'm grateful for this, because notice, Elijah has brought her alone to this place, not by threats, not by guilt trips, but simply by encouragement, by teaching, and then by direct challenge. Trust God. And verse 15 says, the blessings came as a result. She and he, Elijah, and her household ate for many days, just like the Lord said. Verse 16, and the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. This woman experienced miraculous provision from the Lord. This was miraculous here. She has a handful of flour in a bowl. And so she makes the biscuit, and maybe she made the prophets. She made the prophet first, like he said, and had a little left. And then she goes and serves him, and maybe she come back, and you know what? The size of the bowl of flour is doubled or tripled. And that little bit of oil that she basically used up on Elijah, the jar has been filled. And day after day after day, she experienced the Lord's provision until the drought was over. She was blessed. Can't you imagine a widow who is concerned whether or not we'll have enough to even stay alive tomorrow, all of a sudden sees provision for many days? but she would have never experienced the blessing of the Lord if she had not obeyed the Lord. You see, we don't give to get, but giving, the blessing of God is just attached to giving. That when we give, the Lord just responds in giving back and blessing us. You don't need to turn to it, but in Luke, great verse, the Lord was teaching on giving in Luke 6, verse 38. The Lord says, give and it'll be given back to you. That's just how the Lord operates. But he talks about what is given back to you. He said, it will pour out in your lap in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's describing the blessing that comes back from the Lord. It's pressed down and shaken together. It's consolidated to the greatest degree, and it's still running over. That's how much the Lord blesses. He says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. He's just simply saying, based on how much you give to the Lord, he gives back to you. You determine how much the Lord will bless you back. But know that he will. Let me cover this and then our last point and we'll be done. Sometimes we think, again, about withholding. Things are so tight. If I withhold what I'm supposed to give to the Lord, that just gives me more to put me in a better shape in meeting my needs. Again, it sounds logical, but the Bible teaches just the opposite. See if you can find the book of Haggai. Let me help you out. Go all the way to the end of the Old Testament, to Malachi, and work back two books, and you'll be there. Haggai, Israel thought that. They say, you know what? We'll do a lot better if we stop giving to the Lord, and we'll have more. Haggai chapter 1, the Lord comes to Israel, and he said, Israel, how's that working for you? In chapter 1 and in verse 6 of Haggai, the Lord calls Israel to assess some things. He says, you sown much. In other words, man, you put a whole bunch of seeds in the ground for a whole bunch of crops. He says, but yet you harvest little. He says, and you eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You just can't seem to get full. He says, you drink, but there's not enough to even become drunk. He says, you put on clothing, but you don't even have enough to get warm. He says, and he earns wages to put into his purse with holes. He says, you know what? You're working overtime, 50, 60 hours a week, and man, you put money in that purse stored away, and it's almost as if a hole is in that purse because you just can't seem to get ahead. I wonder why that is. Verse 7, thus said the Lord of hosts. He said, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Here's what you need to do. And bring wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with you and be glorified, says the Lord. See, here's the problem. They were supposed to be investing in rebuilding the temple, but they say, you know what? We need to see about building our own house first. And they were neglecting giving to the Lord, thinking that they would get ahead. And the Lord says, actually, you're getting behind because you have neglected the main thing. Verse 9, he says, you look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, the Lord says, I blow it away. It's me. I'm involved in your struggles financially because you're not doing what you as my people should be doing. He says, because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. And again, it may sound logical. I'll just have more if I don't give to the Lord, but it's not biblical. Well, let me draw this to a conclusion. Let me give you quickly the final reason, the fourth and final reason. It's important that we give to the Lord even when it's difficult. We underwrite the work of the Lord. We run out of verses here. This is just a statement on my part. When we faithfully give, even when it's difficult, we're underwriting the work of the Lord. I want you to understand what giving to the Lord is. It's more than dropping a few dollars in the plate. Understand this, that when this woman provides this meal for Elijah, Who is Elijah? He is the prophet of the Lord. He will grow strong as a result of this and be able to do what? Do the work of the Lord. And so what she is doing is by supporting him, by giving to him the servant of the Lord, she is involved in underwriting the work of the Lord. And so when you all week after week faithfully give and this money that is prayed over as it goes to help us to purchase things, to get the gospel out and to make disciples, when people get saved and come to the Lord, guess who in part are rewarded for that by the Lord? You all who have helped underwrite that. 3 John 8 says you become fellow workers with those who present the gospel. This is major. There's no greater program that I would want to be a part of more than that when it comes to people, eternal souls entering the kingdom. And so all that being said, let's break it down. So what is the Lord saying to me? Specifically, what might the Lord be saying to me? One, maybe if in the past, you've not been faithful in giving. What the Lord is saying to you, as he said to the widow, make that commitment today. We won't worry about the past from this day forward. That's what Elijah was challenging that widow to do. From this day forward, you commit to giving to the Lord. For some of you, the Lord may be saying, you're already faithfully giving, but the Lord may be saying, have you checked in with me with what you should be giving? Or do you just flippantly, whatever you feel like at that time? It ought to be a prayerful matter when you go before the Lord. And so is the Lord calling me to give more? Is the Lord calling me to tithe? What would the Lord have me to do in this area? And then for someone here, say, you know what, I don't trust the Lord. Preacher, I'm not sure I trust you. My response to you is, you know what, you don't give anything. Don't give anything. Because as we said, what kind of giver does the Lord want? Absolutely. And so because as Psalm 50 says, the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's not poverty stricken. And one way or the other, he'll provide for his program. Think about this. If the widow had said no to giving to Elijah, do you think the Lord would allow Elijah to starve? No, he'd have provided through someone else. And so with full confidence, we believe that's what the Lord will do here. But he wants to use you. The only question is, will you allow it to? Let's pray together. Father, we've dealt with this very, very sensitive subject. But Lord, we deal with it because it's in your word. We cannot pick and choose, oh Lord, what is comfortable to talk about. Lord, everything that we do and we speak on has to be that the saints might grow in their faith in a closer walk with you. And so that's what I pray the result would be. Lord, this is a tremendous challenge for someone listening to me. And maybe they're still like the widow. They're not quite certain if they're going to latch on. But God, I pray that your word would ring in their ears and that your spirit would just deal with them and let them know that they can trust you. If they can trust you with their soul, surely they can trust you with their money. And so God, grow your people. And then Lord, I say, bless your people. For some here, Lord, I'm just, as they say, preaching to the choir. They're already here. They're committed in this way. They're faithful. And so, Lord, this was just an amen for them, confirmation. And I pray your blessing on them. And, Lord, we also pray it may be in a few moments we'll be celebrating the fact that one came to Jesus Christ through baptism. But it may be someone here sitting that, Lord, you've drawn them to that point that where they are ready to receive Christ. Is in a few moments, as we stand and sing, let them know that when we begin to sing, that they can come forward to me and express to me, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Or maybe some believer who has been seeking a church home and today the Spirit of God is confirmed. This is the place. During that time, Lord, let them know they can come to me and we'll connect them with someone who can give them further instructions. But Lord, whatever the Spirit of God is moving us to do, whether it's regarding giving, whether it's regarding salvation, whether it's regarding membership, oh Lord, may our response be yes. Bless us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.